Coming up on today's show.
Their ministry is coaching, and it's a vital one. But we are saying, see yourself in that ministry as loving and caring for the whole child, not just the athletic part of a child.
Peace be with you. It is the last episode before Christmas, and this is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. At the top of the website, there are links to social media for this show, meaning Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. In addition, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join. And you can also find a link for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. And, of course, social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Just this afternoon at lunchtime, while I was eating, I was reading a story from the Associated Press about Draymond Green from the Golden State Warriors, who has been suspended indefinitely by the NBA. It's an understatement for me to say that the suspension is due to unsportsmanlike conduct. He has gotten overly physical with opponents and been ejected from games and been hit with supplemental discipline, and the team wants to get him the help he needs. Please do not misunderstand the scripture that I am about to cite and what I am or am not implying. I want to make it clear that I am not saying that Draymond Green is sick. Understand what I'm saying through a Catholic lens and with the same spirit that I deliver my ministry moment every week on this show. We all could benefit from spiritual help. As we count down to the celebration of Christ's birth in 1 week, what we're seeing in the scenario I just mentioned with Draymond Green should remind us all of our Savior being born to bring us hope and salvation. I'm talking about Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32 that say, quote, "Jesus said to them in reply, 'Those who are healthy do not need a physician, but the sick do. I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners.'" Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest returns after having previously been on this show way back on episode 120, more than 2.5 years ago. He is the Senior Director of Mission Integration, CYO, and Social Action for Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Cleveland. Earlier this year, he was awarded St. Ambrose Parish's Servant Leader Award. Over 2 years ago, he had started a parish-based mental health ministry at St. Ambrose, and, as we will hear today, back in January of this year, CYO began training their athletic directors regarding the mental health crisis of children and teens. Welcome back to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. Dobie Moser.
It's good to be with you, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let me start off, folks, by saying that if you never heard episode 120 from mid-May of 2021, do go back and listen to it. I re-listened to it yesterday to refamiliarize myself with what Dobie and I talked about when he was first on the show. And wow, what a powerful, powerful episode that was. Now, folks, this episode is going to be a bit different than the usual format. I think it's very timely since we are so fully immersed in not only the upcoming Christmas holiday, but New Year's coming up as well. No doubt the Holy Spirit has moved in my ministry to put Dobie back in the guest seat at this particular time, because as joyous as this time of year is supposed to be, there are a lot of folks, many of them sadly who you don't even know about, that are suffering through the holidays because of their mental health. So instead of the interview style format you're used to hearing on Catholic Sports Radio each week, This is going to be a little bit more of a free-flowing discussion around efforts being made and thus ideas that can be implemented for sports and faith around the topic of mental health. So, Dobie, thank you for allowing me to say all that. And let's jump right in with, as I mentioned in the intro, this past January and what Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Cleveland started. Although, actually, no. Before you answer that, let's start by having you tell us what led up to January. Do some background setting for us first, and then I'll come back and ask you about this past January.
Sure, Bruce. I'm getting connected with my parish at St. Ambrose, and the short of it is we were seeing and hearing of some pretty significant mental health issues in families with young people. We had a junior high person who died by suicide. We had a young adult died by suicide. And over 2 years ago at St. Ambrose, we did an one evening, 2 hours session that I facilitated and led on mental health in families. And we had a much larger and stronger response than expected. And it was primarily to give them a forum to talk about what they're struggling and challenging with in that area and what does depression look like. And, you know, it was a very holy and graced moment in that the depth of sharing, and a fair amount of it was quite painful, led people that I'm sure you've had the experience when it ended and you expect people just to go home now. It's 8:30, 9 o'clock, and they just wanted to stay and talk. And the support and encouragement that they were even giving each other, I found to be very positive. I went to the pastor the next day, wonderful, wonderful priest, Father Bob Steck, and said, I think we need to do a mental health ministry here in the parish. And talk about great pastoral leadership. His response was, I love it. You have my support. What do you need?
Fantastic.
And literally 2 years ago, that more than 2 years ago, that's what happened when it got started. And that led us to take a closer look in the world of athletics and young people and say, what is going on with coaches, with children? What does that look like in athletic settings? That led us to say, we need to start training our ADs, who are wonderful folks, and they really care about kids. But this is a different landscape than the one many of us have in our background.
Yeah, and I want you to go ahead and explain to the audience exactly what this is that got launched in January, because you know it so intimately, and I have come to know it through all the emails that you and I have exchanged, but I would love for the audience to hear what Catholic Charities is doing in the Diocese of Cleveland as of 11 months ago, with, as you just mentioned, the training the athletic directors and coaches.
Right. So I'm going to give you the principle that it's based on and then a little bit of what it looks like in practice. And the principle would be this, that healthy and loving families and organizations talk about things that matter. And what we are seeing, and we know from data from the Center for Disease Control, from other sources as well, is that there's a mental health crisis going on with young people. And that led us in the world of Catholic Charities and CYO. First, Catholic Charities has an ongoing support network of services, counselors, support groups, et cetera, for anybody of any age. Well, that led us to say, well, what does that look like with the young people entrusted to our care in athletics? And the frontline people in that are coaches. Literally, if you stop and think of how many coaches are spending time anywhere from 2 to 4 to 6 hours a week or more with children on their team, and, you know, the statistics, part of what's driving this, including the NIH and CDC stuff, we're talking about 37% of 12 to 17-year-olds express feeling persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. 19% seriously considered attempting suicide.
Wow.
And those kind of numbers, we believe, literally, that the very principle I introduced a moment ago is true for us too. We put it on the table and said, this is the landscape in which we're operating. It's not one we chose, not one we necessarily want to have, but we do need to talk about it. And we need to say, what is a faith-based, evidence-based response to that environment?
I love that you said faith-based, because I'm picturing someone, Dobie, who is listening to our conversation right now, and they're going, are these guys talking about faith or are they talking about sports? And the answer is yes.
No, I love it, Bruce. Great insight on your part. You know, it is really problematic when individuals with good intention spiritualize mental illness in a negative light, i.e., if you only had more faith, i.e., if you prayed more. And I would just use the analogy to say, what parent who had a child with a broken arm would say that that is because of lack of faith? And we need to understand mental illness and serious mental illness. There is absolutely a faith dimension to all things, right? It's what the Jesuits say. I love them for it. Seeing God in all things. But it doesn't mean that we set aside science, medical care,
that's
support.
Right. That's right.
I mean, so it is not faith or mental health and mental illness. It's faith and. So it's not one or the other. That dichotomous split thinking is not helpful.
Well, and I love the recognition by CYO to say these coaches spend so much time with these student athletes throughout the week. Let's get them the training that they need, because unfortunately, folks, let's be honest, we know that when children have some of these issues, they unfortunately don't feel comfortable going to their parents. And if their coach is the one that they're going to open up to, then thank you, God, for calling that person to the coaching ministry where they are there and where the student athlete feels safe to go to him or her and open up about what they're dealing with. But Dobie, as you're saying, there needs to be some training that goes on with these CYO coaches and athletic directors to be properly positioned to listen to these students and help them.
Right. And you know, so some big points about that. I have been the person that both designed, and it's a great privilege, I say it in that context, I designed and implemented the training, first with our athletic directors, now with our coaches through three seasons, another one coming up in the spring. And one of the things we asked them to do at the beginning, we spent 45 minutes just on this, on the mental health piece. Picture a child that you know, whether it's a child in your own family, a child on your team, a child that's within your own circle, whatever that circle might be, that you know who's struggling with mental health, anxiety, or isolation. And I ask them to picture that person by name and face. And what is your observation about the experience they are going through? And it's important to talk about that. And then the second one would be asking us as adults, picture and identify two or three people who you know, Bruce, or I know, and in my low moments and really down times that I can turn to. And their response is going to be, I'm here for you. Well, a big part of what we're doing, this might be the biggest takeaway in our time together today, is can coaches see themselves, yes, I coach basketball, I coach flag football, track and field, whatever the sport. Yes, we value that for the gift that it is. It is the tool and the means. But the heart of the matter, are you as a coach willing to be a loving, caring, and trustworthy adult for kids? So that includes coaching, right? It includes the X's and O's, but it is so much more. Because here's one of the encouraging things in this work, is the more loving, caring, and trustworthy adults that are available and in the lives of young people, the better they do with their mental health. So if I can see myself, yes, I'm a coach, but I'm that loving, caring, trustworthy person, the more adults like that kids have in their lives, some of the mental health conditions and statistics actually go down. Young people know they're not alone. They don't have to make it through this by themselves. There's not shame because they're feeling or going through depression. This loving, caring, trustworthy adult is there, and they're not walking away.
Yeah, well said. Well said. I love the way that this conversation is unfolding. And folks, don't miss what Dobi just said as far as, yes, of course, they are there to be a coach, but there's so much more to it. We just heard it as recently as last week when David Belfield from Belmont Abbey College said that when he was hired, he was asked, how are you going to help develop these young men in body, mind, and spirit? They didn't ask him, how will you run practice? What does your basketball program look like on the floor? It was all about human relationships and these people eventually growing into young men and husbands and fathers. And this is a recurring theme that we hear very often on Catholic Sports Radio from people who are coaches. So Dobi, it was launched in January, and then let's move ahead 5 months and tell us about what took place in June and what your role was with that.
Sure. So it was the second training in the Diocese of Cleveland and our Catholic charity CYO. We have a mandatory mid-season in January, three-hour evening, where we do additional training of athletic directors. And then in June, we do an all-day piece. So June was the second layer of it. And we're going to continue to grow and build on this because these are wonderful and amazing volunteers that are in these roles. They need tools and skills. They need, when they can turn to their toolkit, to know what to say, what to do, what resources to turn to. And we really focus in that June gathering on, okay, what did you learn in January and what have you seen since? And then here are organizations in Northeast Ohio throughout our eight counties. Here are places you can turn, people you can call. And here is what each of those organizations do, not generically, but specifically. And I just want to tell you a quick story that at one of our coaches' meetings in the fall, when we were doing this, I had them discuss those two questions that people throughout the auditorium asking these coaches. We had over 100 in the audience. Tell us what you're seeing in the mental health lives of the children you know, and then who are two or three people you could turn to? And there was a gentleman right in the front row. I've known him for a while. I've seen him as a coach. And he and this person were talking very deeply. They invited me into their conversation. And he was affirming how important it was and how life-giving it was for him to see himself as that loving, caring, trustworthy adult. Mm. You know, Bruce, he contacted me about a month later. The very next night, his daughter was in the kitchen and her mother came in. And the daughter was literally counting the numbers of extra strength Tylenol on the counter.
Mm.
And the mother said, what are you doing? She said, I want to see how many I need that will end my life.
Mm.
And when he told me about this a month later, he said, I never imagined that it could be my ninth grade daughter. And yet, he said, in that very painful moment, I knew, okay, who do we call? What do we do? Where do we go? Like that really practical stuff. And he said, you know, and this is an important thing of working with young people in junior high and high school, that, you know, the phrase I like to use is they're experience rich and language poor. So they have many experiences and those things are inside of them, but they don't always have the language and the ability to articulate what they're feeling, what they're going through. They imagine that nobody else can understand or care.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that is, it's really dangerous stuff around depression like this young woman had, because it was the first time she was going through a major depressive episode. And not uncommon, she was thinking, it's going to stay this way. It will never get better.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were able to get her the medical care and treatment to turn that situation around. And that, again, it is why we need to have these conversations. We don't want a single young person out there making such terribly painful choices for them, for their families, for the world. We love these kids.
And how. Wow. At the very, very beginning of today's show, I said that this is the last episode before Christmas. In case you were wondering, yes, there will be another new episode released on Christmas morning. It is a Monday, after all, and as evidenced by the fact that I have not missed once in the soon-to-be 5 years of doing this show, I don't intend to stop now, meaning I'm not going to use that holiday as a reason to take a week off and miss an episode. That makes it too easy to do it a second time and a third time, and, well, you get the picture. I'm too devoted to this ministry, too passionate about it, and even though we're about to celebrate the birth of Christ, I'm thinking here of when he went off to pray and came back and found the apostles asleep and said, "You couldn't stay awake for 1 hour," meaning, Bruce, you couldn't get just one interview out for that one day of the week that a new edition of the show is supposed to be released. And no, nothing has changed. Nobody hired me to do this show. I'm not working for an individual or a company telling me to put out a new episode or to take a week off. This is not my full or even my part-time job, despite the many hours that I do put into it on and off the air. I still don't get any income for doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors, which, yes, means that still all these years I'm having to somehow find a way out of my own pocket to try to cover the many expenses that come with operating my Catholic sports radio ministry. My hope is that you believe in what I'm doing and that it's helping you in your faith life and you enjoy the show and are being moved by the interviews you hear week in and week out to the point of wanting to support me through a financial gift. Whether it's a gesture of tithing or a Christmas gift to me, I invite you to utilize the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is fast, that is easy, and that is secure. And you simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving, meaning there's not a list of predetermined amounts to have to choose from. For those that are a little hesitant about putting credit card information online, you can instead contact me for information on sending a check through the mail. Get in touch via the website or social media, or email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with the relevant details. I'm grateful for your considering supporting Catholic Sports Radio as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ. Dobie, there was something that you sent me in the lead-up today, and one of the calls to action on there for CYO coaches and parents and families to do to nurture adolescent mental health is called See, Judge, Act. Can you speak to that maybe being easier said than done in a day and age where a lot of people take the I don't want to get involved mindset and they just say, I'm just going to pray for that boy or for that girl?
Actually, thank you, Bruce. I appreciate you picking that up. So the See, Judge, Act piece comes from our Catholic social teaching. So I'm going to just put a plug in there and say we should look at any challenges in our world through that framework and connected to our Catholic faith. So the See, Judge, Act approach related to the mental health of young people would be observe what they're doing, what they're saying, how they're acting. What I mean by that, you know, one of the things, it's pandemic related, the pandemic escalated it, but frankly, it was already happening heavily prior to that. Are they isolating a lot? Are they giving up things that were very important to them for a long time, and all of a sudden they're not doing it all? They've changed their habits in significant ways. So the point would be, we need to, one of the benefits as the parents have, the coaches too, working with young people over the course of years, is we kind of get to know them and their currency. Who are they? What excites them? They love music. They love a certain sport. Well, the See, Judge, Act thing would be observing behaviors. Are they isolating? Are they regressing? Are they showing physical signs of inactivity to the point that they appear they're not even taking care of their appearance in the way they once did? So the idea would be, are there any significant changes in behaviors, friendships, relationships, habits? Based on those observations, and this is a big part of the role of coaches, that is where it's okay and in fact important to say, I see, and then whatever it is, I see you're no longer playing basketball. Is everything okay? Did something happen I need to be aware of? So the idea would be, and Bruce, I'll give you one. I've coached tennis and basketball a lot, and it would be, how many coaches would not hesitate when talking to a parent after practice? The parent says, you know, how's my daughter doing? And they'd say, you know, she's hustling well, she's playing good defense, but she needs work on her left hand.
Yeah.
Learning how to do that left-handed layup and shoot from the left side. Well, we coaches would not, you know, we would do that automatically.
Yeah.
Well, what might that look like in the area of mental health? And I'll give the example. It could be, you notice I notice that your daughter, she's always been such a hustler, that there she just seems to be sad and not having any energy in participating, in joking with teammates, in being a part of the team community. I just want to check, is she okay? So the point would be, it's not a judgment. So when we say see, judge, act, the judge is not about judging somebody as a person. We love and care for them because they're already made in God's image and likeness. The judgment is to say something is amiss, something is not right, and I notice.
Yeah, is that you're judging, is this the little Sally that I'm used to seeing every week? Is this the little Stephen that I'm used to seeing every week?
Right, and is this behavior clearly outside of their normal range of behavior or normal range of what fifth grade boys or girls do? I mean, so the judge part is observing in context.
Yep.
And then the act piece could be having that conversation with a parent. You know, I want to be clear. We're not asking coaches to become counselors. That's not their role. Their ministry is coaching, and it's a vital one. But we are saying, see yourself in that ministry as loving and caring for the whole child, not just the athletic part of a child. And that can lead to those conversations.
Because the dangerous part of acting could be the coach judging and saying, something doesn't seem right about Sally this week. And then the act is making the decision, well, I just hope that she's ready for Friday's game. And you put a bow on it, and that's the end of it. And the coach doesn't speak to Sally. The coach doesn't speak to Sally's parents. And now Sally really is dealing with something that's really, really weighing her down, and nobody is asking her about it.
Right. And I mean, so one of the things that's very powerful is that, and I'm going to go to, I know it's a hard subject, but there's hope in the back part of this, and it would be, in a sense, we want to be interrupters. And what I mean by that is when a child's mental health and well-being is going downhill, they need somebody who notices to say, are you okay?
That's right.
I see what's happening and I care. You know, so that the interrupter literally is willing to be vulnerable, not look away. You know, I actually think part of being a Christian is we do not look at human suffering and look away. We actually look toward it and say, what is God calling me to do as a response? In this case, on a mental health piece, is looking at it and saying, I'm seeing this and I really care. Are you okay? And then part of the partnership, you talk to the parents, you talk to the principal, you talk to the people in that child's life to say, just like I noticed the child needs help with their left-hand shooting, I'm concerned. I just want to make sure they're okay.
Yeah. Yep.
And if they say back, you know what, thank you, we're dealing with it, we're really, in a sense, we're really now glad, Bruce, that you're one of those trustworthy adults who notices and is willing to speak up.
Exactly. Exactly. I have stated over and over during my close to 5 years of doing the show every week that one of the pillars of my ministry is that sports are great and there are a lot of benefits from sport. Physical fitness, teamwork, good sportsmanship. And it's okay to want to go for a pro contract, but we don't worship sport. We worship God and God alone. Dobie, similarly, another one of the statements you have about what CYO coaches, as well as parents and families, can do to nurture adolescent mental health is value community, skill development, and belonging as more important than winning games.
You know, right on, Bruce. So I coached one time my daughter in fifth grade. I coached that team, and my gosh, it was painful because I did not have a single kid that could dribble without looking down. so we got beat by a drum every week. And one time I'm heading into the gym, and I hear somebody saying, you know, from the opposing team, this team, you know, who are we playing today? Are they any good? And one of the teammates, not knowing, I was like within earshot, one of the girls said, well, you're playing us, and we're not very good, but we have a lot of fun.
Wow.
But I share it. It is that sense of belonging so that every practice, young people are going saying, and Bruce, it sounds corny, but I'm going to get very specific. I greet the kids when they come into practice. I greet the kids when they walk out the door. And the message I want to send is, I'm glad you're here.
Mm.
I'm glad you're a part of our team. We couldn't be who we are without you.
Mm.
Communicate it in whatever way. And what you want them to know is they may have had a terrible day. They may be feeling down. And they may or may not be a decent ball player. But they know when they come into my gym and they're on our team, that they're loved and accepted, and we're glad they're there just because they're there.
Yeah.
You know, I like the line from St. Don Bosco. It's because you are young is reason enough to love you.
Hmm.
Not because you score baskets or because you're a good or bad athlete. No, it's, you got it. It's pure gift.
Yeah. They feel welcome when they come to practice. They feel welcome when they walk into your gym. I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge your having recognized the 5-year anniversary of the passing of your son last month. And folks, you'll hear that if you don't remember it. Please, please go back and listen to episode 120. I have to restate what a powerful episode that was with Dobie the first time he was on the show. But Dobie, as I mentioned, the 5-year anniversary of the passing of your son last month, you sent me a picture that I'm going to post in the Catholic Sports Radio community, the Facebook group. And in fact, I'll even post the link to a video you sent me as well. But Dobie, share with the audience what I'm referring to as shown in that video from Fox 8 News Cleveland from a little over a year ago.
Actually, folks, that is an ofrenda. And my wife Lisa gets the credit for that, not me. I want to be clear about that. But the point would be, is it comes from Mexican culture as a way to remember and recall and celebrate the life of people that have left this world. And the picture that they'll see in that video that they'll see is, you can put little symbols, images, things about that person. They liked music. They love certain cultural foods. And the idea of an ofrenda is to remember them and to celebrate their life, and also to remind us that one day we look forward to the time that we're going to be with them again. And it really is. The ofrenda, if you look at the images, my wife does an amazing job with it. It is a way to recall and celebrate those people that have blessed our lives. And Bruce, thank you for mentioning it. Regarding our 5-year anniversary, I think one of the ways we think about that, yes, was it painful? Of course, you're losing a child. And, or in this case, Vinny was 23, a young adult. But the reality of saying, well, how can we give that pain and loss to God so it's transformed into something that gives life and hope to the world?
Mm.
And in that way, his life can give life and hope to the world. And I think when we can work through death and loss, instead of going through, I think what happens when we don't do that hard work, any of us, instead of transforming that work into something that's life-giving, we transfer that pain onto other people.
Hmm.
So the gospel offers us a chance not to transfer pain, because hurt people hurt people, but instead to allow God to transform that pain and to bring beauty and goodness and life out of it. And yes, we miss our son. It's still a loss. But frankly, we also celebrate the goodness and beauty that he brought into our lives and the world.
So beautifully said. So beautifully said. And folks, understandably, this has been a rather heavy conversation that you've been hearing. So Dobie, as we head into the home stretch here, let's have a little fun.
Sure.
Back on episode 120, when you were first on the show, we talked about tennis really being your sport. Do you have any time for any involvement with tennis these days? And then also, who do you like these days in terms of pro tennis players? Who do you like to watch play the sport?
Actually, I do play 2-3 times a week.
Wow.
I find time for it because, well, I want to be healthy.
Mm.
And Bruce, you made a reference earlier on. It is such a Catholic understanding, mind, body, and spirit. It's not one or the other. It's not one over the other. Those three are woven together in a way that you cannot unweave them. So, yes, I still play. I'm not going to say how well I play. You can let others make that judgment. And I got to tell you, the young Italian, Jannik Sinner, who I think is 21, maybe 22 right now, he will be number one at the end of 2024, if not sooner.
Mm.
And, you know, here we thought Nadal, Djokovic, Federer, who could possibly replace them?
Yeah.
Well, The young people were taking over, and I can only say how wonderful and fun that is.
Wow, what a nice outlook. What a nice outlook. So as we get ready to wrap up, since this is coming out 1 week before Christmas, Dobie, let's close by having you share with us the plans that your family has for celebrating Christmas 1 week from today, maybe any traditions in the Moser household.
Absolutely. We have a lot of traditions, both food traditions. My wife's Italian, but also a funny one. On Christmas Eve, we all gather, and starting with the youngest, each person picks a book. So, Bruce, we have a tradition that, you know, we've been married over 40 years, and every year we'd get 1, 2, 3 Christmas books and would put those in a crate. Well, that's a lot of books in over 40 years. So what we do is each of the kids will pick a book that is their favorite. And we're talking now the youngest, although we have grandkids here, but from the very youngest to the oldest, who's now 41, they'll pick a book and they'll read it to everybody else. And it goes right up the ladder. And it's funny, my one son tortures us all, tortures us with a book called The Steadfast Tin Soldier. It is painful and long, but it's also, he just reads it with great drama and we all laugh. And so, yes, we're doing that. Obviously, we'll be going to Mass and praying throughout the holidays. And we like to play a lot of family games. Here's your hot tip on that. There's a fun game called Blank Slate. It is hilarious and fun, and you want to try it.
It's a board game, or it's just something that we should look up?
Yeah, it's a board game.
Okay.
And it's simple and fun.
Okay. Well, it sounds like there's always a good time to be had at the Moser household on Christmas. So, Dobie, thank you. This episode, folks, went a wee bit longer than maybe some of you would have liked, but it was an important episode. It's heavy subject matter, but it's so, so important. And we only scratched the surface. We probably could have talked twice as long as this episode has ended up being. But Dobie, thank you for coming back on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
You too. Peace be with you, Bruce, and to all your listeners. God bless you.
And folks, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer and do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.